Yo. We're still on the air, and Fred Malone's here with me from the Marion Historical Society, and we're talking about a favorite area both of us have, and that's southeastern Ohio. If you haven't been down there, you need to head down that way, because there's everything in the world to do down there. They have camping, they have fishing, they have virtually everything outdoorsy.
Hiking.
Yeah.
Yep, everything. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We both had some great, and we had a few tales that we told in between the, that we won't go on with. But
a couple of them we can't tell. Yeah, we can't talk about.
But
yeah.
Let's continue our discussion.
Well, I wanted to start this half of the show talking about last week. I actually made a trip down to southeastern Ohio last week. My wife and I took two friends of ours, a couple that we do a lot together with. In fact, he's President Harris, President Benjamin Harrison.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. He and his wife are both retired school teachers. And I read an article in the Columbus Dispatch about a month or so ago about a guy by the name of Jack Pine, who is a glassblower. And
I love glassblowers.
He has opened a studio down on State Route 180, about halfway between where you turn off on 180 on State Route 33 over to Laurelville. So it's about halfway in between. And I guess he opened this studio about 5 years ago. So in this article, it talked about how he was originally from the area, and he went to the college, Columbus College School of Art and Design, which is very famous for people that want to be in any kind of artwork.
Sure.
And after graduating, he worked for Jehuli for a while. Now, Jehuli is the one that always produces all the glass down at Franklin Park Conservatory. Very, very famous glass.
Known for his chandeliers.
Oh, absolutely. Like beautiful. He worked for him for a while. In fact, Jehuli wanted him to stay with him. And Jack said, no, I want to go out and make a name for myself. And besides, he thought Jehuli was a bit of a prima donna.
That happens.
Yeah. And so anyway, he went to Oregon and started a studio out there and became internationally known for his glassblowing abilities, especially a glassblowing of pumpkins. Pumpkins,
really?
Yes, pumpkins, of all things. And had a studio out there for, I think he said, 15 or 16 years, or his sister told me. And then moved to Colorado and started a studio there and was very successful. And about 6 years ago, I got this information from his sister, by the way, who works for him. About 6 years ago, his father got a hold of him and said, you know, Jack, you need to come back to the Hocking Hills because it has exploded in tourism, which it has.
Yeah.
And he said, you need to come back here and open a studio because I think it'd behoove you to do that, especially since you're from the area and you'd be close to family. And so he decided he'd do that. His folks were getting up in age. And so he came back, searched for a place where he could put the studio. And on State Route 180, halfway between 33 and Laurelville, He found a building that would be suitable with some modifications. That used to be where they sold tractors, and I remember when they sold tractors there in the late 50s and early 60s. So, unfortunately, by the time he got back and bought the property, his dad had passed away, so his dad never got to see the studio completed. But the studio was completed about 5 years ago, built some additions on it. I don't know how much acreage he has there, but probably a good bit. And
can you go there?
Yes. That's, and then in this catalog that I picked up of tourism, here's a great big huge article advertisement for it. So we took our friends down last Monday. It was a beautiful day. It was up in almost 70 degrees. Only took about 2.5 hours to get down there to his studio. And it's out in the middle of the country, but beautiful studio. And he has 15 employees. He employs 5 blowers plus himself. Whew. And you can watch them blow glass. In fact, there were 3 blowers working that day. One was actually helping an older couple make a Christmas ornament or a paperweight or something. So you can actually go in there and they'll teach you how to do it and let you make something for yourself.
Don't suck in.
No. And then on the other end, his sister took us down to the other end where his best blower and another blower were working on making big pumpkins. And I'm showing Glenn, it's probably a pumpkin maybe 16 inches plus around. Yeah, right. And the one guy blows the pumpkin, and then the other one does the stem. And the absolutely amazing work. He has 6 furnaces there. Wow. And the main furnace that has the white glass in it that they start with before they add any color, that runs 24/7. And all the furnaces are run by propane, not natural gas, propane. And the other 6, they shut down at night and then fire them back up in the morning. But the one stays at 2,200 degrees constantly.
Wow.
365 days a year.
I can't imagine that it's cheap glass.
Well, I can tell you, based on the prices that they were getting for the wares, it's an expensive thing.
Yeah, well, I used to love glass blowing because we went up to Mackinac Island.
Oh yeah,
and there were glass blowers up there. They really didn't blow the big stuff. They basically did little animals and stuff like that. But I just loved watching it. And one of my dreams that I've had for years, ever since we moved to this area, was to buy up one of the downtown empty places and turn it into an artist studio where you bring in a glass blower, you give them free space, you bring in an artist that does oils, you bring in an artist that does
kind of like sculpture. an artist community.
I really think that would hit it off here.
I think it would.
But well, you got to get it going, and
it's expensive to get the start.
Yeah,
and obviously Jack has done well. His sister told me that he has his work is in over 133 museums.
Wow.
And art studio or art institutions all over the world. He does all the glass blowing for the Bellagio Casino out in Las Vegas. He's worked for several different art concerns, and it was just a fabulous experience. We were there probably a couple hours. My wife and I did buy a couple of pumpkins. We bought a small one and kind of a medium-sized one, and we spent well over $100.
Yeah, wow.
But his work is fantastic. Not only does he do pumpkins, he does other things as well. He did wall hangings and vases and, you know, all different kinds of things. I would highly, highly suggest people make a trip down there.
Sounds like
fun. And again,
fun.
He's open year-round. Obviously better to go when you can see some nice scenery, but open year-round. But it's on State Route 180, and if you just go down
33
south, just before you get to Logan, a few miles north of Logan, you'll see where 180 goes off, and take 180 to Laurelville, and you'll run into it.
180, I think, goes off to the south, doesn't it?
It does, yes.
33, mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. And after we got done there, I was asking his sister, I said, years ago, I used to know the guy that was the manager of the Salt Creek Valley Bank, or the president of the Salt Creek Valley Bank. I said, is that little restaurant still there that has that great food? And she said, yes, it is, right there. So after we left the studio, we drove on into Laurelville and had our lunch at the restaurant right beside Salt Creek Valley Bank, which is still an independent bank.
Huh.
And I had some of the best bean soup I've had in years.
Oh.
And I had sugar cream pie for dessert.
I don't know what now, that is.
Well, if you grew up in Southern Ohio, you know what sugar cream pie is. Okay. It's kind of like a custard pie, but it was a pie that people that didn't have a whole lot of money could make because it's basically sugar and milk.
Sounds like it's very low calorie.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, very low.
And I'm telling you, this piece of pie, the crust was absolutely phenomenal, and the crust on the back of the pie that sticks up on this particular pie stuck up about 4 inches.
Oh, that's
I had never seen a crust that high, and it was delicious. I didn't leave a crumb.
Well, you're a good boy.
But it's good old Southeastern Ohio home cooking.
Yeah. Now, when my wife and I left Indiana, we always thought of ourselves as Hoosiers, and we were proud to be Hoosiers. But, you know, I've lived in Ohio probably more years than I lived in Indiana. And now I think of myself, I don't think of myself as a Buckeye, but I do think of myself as a Bobcat.
As a Bobcat. Well, now, that's all right. Yeah, I mean, Bobcats are number one
and
in my heart.
By the way, the listening audience doesn't realize this, but Fred has on his OU shirt today. He was a devoted Bobcat.
I still am.
Yeah.
Now, once a Bobcat, always a Bobcat.
Can you get that magazine here, the Hiking Hills magazine?
Yeah, actually, you probably can pick this up. Our friends who went with us last Monday, she had picked it up someplace in one of those racks over around the Mohican area.
Well, I just
you can get them probably downtown now at the Visitors and Conventions Bureau.
Yeah, that's
Bureau.
What
yeah.
I thought maybe.
But this is a 2021 Visitor's Guide. And, of course, it has all the places you can stay. It has information about Logan in it and all the area. And just in Hocking County, primarily. But
now you said downtown to the Visitors Bureau. Has it moved?
It is. Yes.
Where
it's
is
gone.
It now?
It's in the Harding Hotel.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I'll have to stop
I think that's where they told me it is. I haven't been down there yet, but I think they said it was in the Harding Hotel.
Okay. Yeah. I used to visit Diane.
Or is it
now at the library?
I might be wrong. It might not be. It might be that it went in where what's the other organization, not Convention Visitor Bureau, the Chamber of Commerce. It might be where the Chamber went, and because the Chamber went down to the Harding Hotel.
Right, they did go there.
Yeah, so it might be where the Chamber was.
Okay.
I may have misspoke. Yeah,
I will look. I'd like to get in there and pick up one of those.
Yeah, very nice book, and of course there's coupons in here if you want to travel down there, but there are so many things down there to see now, and the whole area is just fantastic. We mentioned a little bit about about New Straitsville and Shawnee, two smaller towns over in Perry County.
Is New Straitsville the place where they have the Moonshine Festival?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep, that's in New Straitsville.
And they don't sell moonshine there, unless you know somebody.
Well, actually, now they do.
Oh, do they?
Now moonshine is being made commercially.
Yeah, that's true.
And, in fact, you can buy moonshine over at Meyer and Kroger's, I think.
It comes
in a mason jar, you know. But for years, when I was growing up as a kid in Logan, in order to get moonshine, you went to Perry County, and you had to know somebody that knew somebody that knew somebody, and you could actually find the moonshine. As a former auxiliary deputy years ago, I did participate in a couple of still bustings in Hocking County.
What a bad guy you were.
when Puffy Hartman was sheriff in Hocking County, and I went to school with Puffy's daughter, and Puffy Hartman, one of my favorite law enforcement officers ever. He was a typical good old boy, Southeastern Ohio sheriff. Didn't have a mean bone in his body and did his job well.
Good.
And I always looked up to him. He was more like a father to me than a lot of people. Moonshine was very popular in Perry County.
Yeah.
Very, very popular. In fact, it was always referred to as the moonshine capital of the world.
Yeah.
Which is hard to believe.
My wife, just to pick up some cash after I left OU, she had a nighttime route for the Athens Messenger.
Mm-hmm.
And we went like 1, 2, and 3 o'clock in the morning and delivered the papers. And we'd go through. Some of those places are scary to drive through in the middle of winter because nobody's going to come out and save you.
Nope.
There's nobody around.
Nope. Well, did you ever... Gloucester's almost the same way.
Oh, yeah.
Did you deliver over Gloucester?
Yes,
that's on your way to on your way to Burr Oak.
Yeah.
Haydenville, still in Hocking County.
Yeah.
Off the beaten path. Used to be a what they would call a factory, not factory, but what's the name I want? Where they had factory housing. You know, you worked for the claymakers where they had the kilns there.
Yeah,
they were company homes.
Company
that's what
homes.
I'm trying to think of.
Company
yeah.
homes.
That's the word I want. And they had a company store there in Haydenville. And Haydenville is just off of 33 between Logan and Nelsonville.
Yep.
And I don't remember the state route now that
I
you would
either.
Take off. But
I can see the sign. But
it's where the old Logan Drive-In used to be. You go off to the right, and you can go through Haydenville. And there are still a couple of the old kilns still there.
Huh.
And a lot of the company homes are, of course, owned by people now who bought them from the company when the company went out. But they had a company store there. And if you worked for the tile factory, the tile company, or the brick company, whichever it happened to be, they would pay you in company script.
So you had to go
buy your groceries at the company store, and that way the company never really paid you.
Yeah, right. They just
because
got the money. Yeah.
It was just like a circle. You got paid with their money, and you gave them their money back when you bought your goods at the store.
Yeah, you know? Whatever works for you.
All those places are fascinating. New Straitsville, of course, years ago, back in the late teens, early 20s, they had the big strike where the mine workers went on strike. They quit mining coal, and they set the mine on fire.
Yeah.
And to this day, you can drive down to New Straitsville on, what is that, Route 278 or something like that?
I don't remember.
Going into New Straitsville.
It's still burning, right?
It is still burning. The smoke is still coming out of the ground.
Yeah, and there are places where the snow never
melts. It never accumulates. It always melts. Yeah.
Yeah,
so a lot of great, interesting places down there. Of course, a little bit further south into Athens County, where you spent the majority of your time. I suppose you lived. Did you live right in Athens, or did you live out in the county?
Right in town. Yeah.
What street did you live on?
We lived on. Oh, what was
Do
the name of the street?
Remember?
I don't remember. Elmwood.
Elmwood Street. Okay. Of course, if you lived or if you worked or went to school at a high university, your main streets were Court Street.
Yep. Yeah, what was
just slipped my mind.
Yeah, down there by the bookstore, Court and
I can't even.
Main, no.
No, not Main Street. isn't that awful?
Yeah, well.
Well, anyway, on that particular street, when I was a student there, my freshman year in 1968, fall of 1968.
I think we're going to segue into the OU stuff.
A little bit.
Let's go.
Yeah. There was a place on campus. Well, it wasn't on campus, but it was on Court Street. And what is the State Street?
Yeah.
State Street.
Court State. Yeah.
I think this building was on Court Street. But top of the hill, there was a big two-story building there. I can't remember what the building used to be, but they turned it into a music venue, and it was called the Appalachian Lighthouse. This is before you got there.
Oh, yeah, well before.
And that was where we kids hung out. And honest to goodness, you could walk through the door and literally cut the smoke with a knife.
Yikes.
Now, it wasn't cigarette smoke, if you get my drift.
Yeah, I get your drift, yeah.
You got to remember, this is hippie time.
And definitely smell like an oak tree.
And Ohio University was full of hippies.
Yeah.
In those days, we were known as the party school of the United States.
Well, they assumed that the riot was going to happen in Athens, not up at Kent State.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. It sure missed the mark, right.
Yeah.
But anyway, the Appalachian Lighthouse was where we hung out, and I saw people there that you would probably not believe. Jimmy Morrison.
Really? Of the Doors.
Yep. Grateful Dead.
Huh.
I was trying to think of some of the others I saw there. Played the guitar. See, this is where your mind starts going on. Jimi Hendrix, before he became famous, was there.
Huh.
I spent a lot of time there when I was a freshman down at Ohio University.
Now I'm starting to understand your personality a little bit better.
Well, let's put it this way. When I was at Ohio University, didn't look anything like I look now because I had hair pretty far down my back, as did most people that were on campus.
I have pictures of me
days.
Like that, too, yeah.
And, of course, in the fall, we always had our big Halloween party, which I think is still a tradition.
Yeah, I think it's still going on.
And, of course, when I was going to school there, we referred to the school as Harding on the Hocking.
Yeah, not Harding.
Harvard on the Hocking.
Harvard,
Harvard on the Hocking.
And they still did when I was still there.
Well, I ran into a girl. We were up at Put-in-Bay this summer with some friends, And my wife gets so irritated at me because every time I see somebody with a Bobcat shirt on or high university, I got to go over and talk to them.
Yeah, yeah.
Irregardless. So we had stopped at this little bar, outdoor bar, to get a drink and listen to the band. So naturally, right away, I see this lady who looks like she's probably in her 30s, maybe 40s, with the Bobcat shirt on. So a minute I see her, I'm over there talking to her. And during our conversation, of course, I asked when she graduated. I think it was something like 85 or 86, you know, so she's still pretty young. And because I graduated in 72. And we were talking, and during the conversation, I said, by the way, I said, did you ever hear the expression Harvard on the Hawking? And she said, no, not when I was there. She said, I don't remember it. But she said, I have a niece that's going there now, and they're starting to call it Harvard on the Hawking.
Yeah, we did. I was there from 83 to 96, and it was called Harvard on the Hawking.
I don't know whoever came up with that, but...
it's a great name.
I think it was just trying to make us all feel like we were a little smarter than we were.
Yeah, and, you know, people always complain. I had parents who would come... You know, I was in athletics, and so therefore I kind of entertained some of our recruits and their parents and stuff like that. And they would always say to me, I'm a little nervous about the drinking.
Because the reputation of the school.
Because the reputation. I'd say it's all up to your kid.
Right.
If your kid doesn't want to do that, there's plenty of things to do other than drink.
Sure, absolutely.
But if your kid wants to have a good time once a year, tell them to go to the Halloween thing and be... Be sensible. And
yeah, right.
I would go downtown with my three kids when they were very young and very formidable age, yeah. And we'd laugh.
Well, I'll tell you what, the costumes that you would see were unbelievable.
They were disgusting, but they were.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, and as I mentioned to Glenn, I saw some things at that Halloween party that I'd never seen before in my life growing up on a farm in a small town.
Usually up on the second story.
Yeah.
On the ground floor, on the street, you don't see too much of that.
It wasn't quite as bad, no. But kind of like I liken it to going to Mardi Gras in New Orleans, yeah. You know, and what you might see there on the second floor.
And there were a lot of beads being thrown.
Oh, yeah.
And it's still going on.
But actually... the first college in Ohio, established in 1803,
yep, right.
Before any other college became a part of Ohio. So a lot of history there. You can get an excellent education there.
Yep.
A very good school if you're going to be a broadcaster.
One of the finest.
One of the finest.
Yeah. And photographer.
And photography. Yeah. And also a school of osteopathic medicine.
Absolutely.
Right.
My roommates.
I had a couple of buddies that I graduated from high school, went to there and got their doctors.
My roommate was the team physician.
Oh, really?
That's where he went.
Yeah. So, well, growing up, my family physician was a graduate from down there. But
a DO,
Doctor of Osteopathic Medicine. Right?
Yeah. And you know, it was kind of interesting. My eldest son ran cross country and track there, and he was out for the night. And this was must have been the fall when the clock goes forward. Anyway, they were going to lose an hour of drinking time.
Oh, that would have been in the spring when they spring forward.
Okay.
Right.
Spring forward.
Right.
All right. They were going to lose an hour of drinking that night. So, but my son was downtown. All we knew, his mother and I, is that he was downtown. And all of a sudden, my wife nudged me. We were sleeping. My wife nudged me and says, "What's that noise?" And there's this horrible noise coming from downtown. So I got up thinking maybe there's a big fire going on downtown.
Yeah, you weren't that far away from downtown.
Oh, no, we were five blocks, maybe six.
Yeah.
I put on my clothes and drove downtown. It was the first night of the major riots. And they called them major riots. They weren't major. But they would get mad at the police because they were throwing them out of the bars. Sure enough, my son was there.
Well, I do have to say, though, that it's a beautiful campus.
Lovely.
If you've never been there, it's beautiful any time of the year. Fall is probably my favorite time.
And other than Morgantown, Athens has the most beautiful women's legs. Because they have to
I won't dispute that. Yeah, the calves are absolutely fantastic. Yeah, the calves are absolutely fantastic. Up and down the hills. Extremely hilly.
Yeah.
And, of course... a lot of landmarks in the area, and one of them you and I were talking about off air was the old state hospital
that
was there. And if you want to talk a little bit about that.
Well, kind of scary. Yeah, I got a phone call from one of my tennis players, and I don't remember a whole lot about this, but I do remember she said, "Mr. Coble, you've got to talk to such and such person." I can't remember the names. She said, "You've got to talk to her because she's dating Billy Milligan." Well, I didn't know who Billy Milligan was. Well, I found out pretty quickly he was the guy they wrote the book 24...
Personalities.
Yeah, right. 24 personalities.
Yep.
And he
I don't remember the title of the book.
I don't either.
No.
But he had been charged with raping of four women up at OSU.
Yeah.
He had been charged with shooting somebody, not to death, but several charges. But apparently, after a while, they fused all the different personalities together and declared him healthy. Mm-hmm. So he was walking the streets of Athens.
It's just hard to believe.
And so I contacted this girl because this one athlete told me she's dating him. So I contacted the girl, and she was one of our tennis athletes. And I said, "Are you dating Billy Milligan?" She said, "No, he's just a friend." And I didn't believe her at first, but I followed up on it and made sure that she was just a friend. And to this day, I'm not quite sure if she was just a friend, but she convinced me.
Well, he was a very interesting individual.
Strange.
And the fact that, yeah, I'm not sure if that came out before or after that woman that Sally Fields played that part, the woman that had those multiple personalities.
Yeah, I think it came out before.
Before that one.
But he was one of the first.
Yeah, but
he was a
sociopath, really. I guess
he was the first multiple personality to get off of that.
Yeah.
And he did get off. Now, I used to work in the Convocation Center, and those of you who have not been to Athens, it's a big round dome where we played basketball, and they actually had dormitory rooms around the edge. But every morning I would drive in there and look to my left as I'm driving in, and there's Norman Bates's mother's house up on the hill.
Yeah,
it did look like that.
I never heard anybody describe it that way, but it did look like that.
And it was kind of scary. And I would go up there occasionally and look at it. As a matter of fact, my son, they had a dance there because OU bought the place out.
Mm-hmm.
I think they must have closed it in the 70s.
Yeah.
And OU bought it out, and they started turning a lot of the buildings into extraneous buildings for the university.
Right.
And one of them they had parties in, and my son was in this, he was there for King of Hearts dance or something like that, and we went over there, and it was kind of creepy to be in those places.
And actually, a few years ago, I just happened to come back in my mind. A few years ago, I remember there was a big stink about when the university was planning on tearing down the majority of those buildings, and there was a big stink being raised by a lot of the preservation groups that didn't want some of those buildings torn down because of their historical value. The house might have been one of them. I don't remember now. I don't ever remember how it came out. I think they did end up tearing down several of the buildings. So.
There's a really good show on our local TV that you can watch about how they have identified all the graves of
the old inmates, residents,
They died and they just gave them a number.
Yes.
Now they're getting it to the point where they've got names for most of them, which is nice for the families.
But there's a lot of history in the area, but a lot of great sightseeing in there. The plains, of course, was recently put on the map because of Joe Burrow, won the Heisman Trophy. Was it last year? Year before last?
2 years ago.
And now plays quarterback for the Cincinnati Bengals. Grew up right there at the Plains, which is just north of Athens.
Yeah.
Actually, I guess he went to Athens High School.
Well, Athens High School is in the Plains,
right? Yeah. So that's where he went to school. In fact, I think didn't his dad work for High University?
Yes, he was. He was a coach.
Yeah,
for
still does.
OU.
But anyway, a lot of beautiful scenery down through there, and of course, moving back up.
Wildlife.
Oh, wildlife galore, absolutely. Yeah. I wish James had been with us today, because he could have talked a lot about the wildlife. And just recently, of course, Ohio University's mascot's always been a bobcat.
Yep.
And recently, the bobcats, the animal bobcat, has been migrating back into the area in southern Ohio. So they are being sighted now.
That's kind of cool. Now, I had a lady call me when I was at OU and said, I think I'm hearing a bobcat outside my house.
Well, they have a very distinctive yell.
It's kind of a scream.
Yeah, it's a scream. Yeah, it is. It's very distinctive. And they're not a big cat. They're a little bit larger than a big house cat.
The bobcats that were at the Columbus Zoo were owned by Dick Wittes, and he was a former OU grad.
Yeah.
And, you know, this was back when you could still own wildlife like mm-hmm. that. And then he donated it to the Columbus Zoo. But I got to put him on my shoulder.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Must have been, had him from when they were cubs.
Yes.
Raised him.
Now,
from cubs.
One thing that Dick always told me about is you have to be careful because they have sharp claws.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And it ripped his leather jacket up. Hey, we have an incoming call. Let's go to the phone and see what people want to know about. Hi, you're on the air.
Yeah, I was wondering if I could have a little radio time and talk about Southeastern Ohio.
Yeah, please, tell us.
Well, we had property down there with my wife and I since 1977. And clear up
until
the highway through. Is that okay? That screech, you still hear me?
That was me, yeah. I'm sorry.
That's okay. That bobcat. And
that's right.
Anyhow, I'm bordering Athens County for 25 years. We'd go down 33 and all through the places you named. The plains, I like that, what Fred said. I went in there to the left, those twin houses made out of block and stuff. And
yeah.
They're
yeah.
really a fascinating thing to see. People say, oh, you mean you drive down there and see it? I said, well, I go that way every once in a while to look at them. They're just fascinating the way they're built.
Sure are. No.
And, go ahead.
No, no.
Where was your property?
Well, that's what I wanted to get at.
Yeah.
Probably wouldn't ever be mentioned on you guys' show there. But to me, I tell all our friends and stuff, and we had a lot of friends come down to the cabin, and get right in the boot of Italy. You know where that is?
Yes.
I don't. You'll have to ask me afterwards.
How's that?
Yes, go ahead, tell him.
I say, do either one of you know where the boot of Italy is?
Fred knows where it is.
Yes, go ahead and tell him.
Yeah, Fred, where is it?
Well, you're talking about just on the other side of the plains, right?
Oh, no. I didn't think you guys knew what
well,
it was.
Well, then I must not know.
A lot of people don't know. Look at the map when you get a chance, and look at Meigs County, where it makes the dip down there. And our house was right in the laces of the boot. It's a little short boot. It isn't a real long boot.
Now that you say that, I can see it in my mind's eye, yeah.
So it is in Meigs County?
It is in Meigs County.
Okay, all right. I'm not that familiar with Meigs.
How's that?
I'm not that familiar with Meigs County. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know you guys didn't get down there by hearing you talk several different times about Athens, but it's right in the laces of the boot. That's Racine, Ohio. Well, I always relate that to Racine, Ohio, and they said, well, there's another state that's got a town, Racine, but anyhow,
Wisconsin.
getting back to the same things you guys was talking about, when we go down 33 and you talk about the glacier coming down, well, I get down the Memorial Highway just south on 33 of Lancaster, my heart started to beat because there you started seeing the tips and the stuff of the hills and stuff. And so that was a really a good thing about it. And that a lot of different things that you mentioned, Fred mentioned, like moonshine, was in the world, you know. Well, down around Racine, along the river, that was the garden state of the world. And I don't know if you guys ever heard much or knew much about that area down there, but I know being down around there, you folks, you used to see the big trucks come up there from the south to the north. It's coming out of the Racine area, and they had the big tub truck, you know, and it was clear overflowing more or less with tomatoes.
Yeah.
They would get those, they didn't care what, you know, they picked those and put those on those huge trucks. They was going up to Campbell Soup Company. But there's a lot of history down there, Fred.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe on the historical part, do you know any historical places that you recall in your historical stuff around in Meigs County?
Not so much in Meigs County, although there were Malones all along the river. There, relation shirt-tail cousins in Meigs County, Lawrence County, Gallia County, all the way along the Ohio River. So I'm sure I had cousins in Meigs County, but I never knew a whole lot about that particular area. I do remember cousins in the Racine area. So that wasn't a surprise to me, but I don't know a whole lot about that. Mainly my time was spent in Hocking, Athens, and Perry County.
Yeah, you don't get out of them because you love them so much, you know.
Absolutely. Well, that's the truth. I mean, when you grow up in the hills, you know, you can take a guy and put him in flatland, but you can't take the hills out of his heart.
Yeah.
Well, they're...
You still there?
Satan Island. Battlefield Memorial Park. Probably heard of that. Right in the middle of the river, right there.
You talking about Blennerhassett?
Long 124. Well, they had a reenactment right there at that Bluffington Island.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah. Right. There's also a place down there called Big Bottom.
Yeah, Big Bottom. Yeah, it's just right up there north of that on 124,
right.
Coming out of Forked Run.
Right.
But anyhow, I run those roads for 25 years, so I was pretty fun. The side roads, like I heard you guys fumbling around about a name there. All you had to do is say, oh, down there in that second hollow, you'll see that.
Second hollow.
Yeah. They didn't worry about the state names, but the old-timers, and we really was acquainted with the old-timers down there.
Yeah.
They loved us, and we loved them.
Oh, sure. Absolutely. Well, our family farm, if you're familiar with Scioto County at all, and where the Scioto County Fairgrounds is, right on Route 23, our family farm was right across the road from the Lucasville, from the Scioto County Fairgrounds. There was on Fairgrounds Road. That's where our dairy was. So that's where I spent the first 9 years of my life.
Yeah. Well, 25 years of our life down there, and you won't believe this, we drove from Marion, Ohio, down to Racine, which is 152 mile, and I'd go down there, mow the yard, and come back. We had 4 acres, and the 4 acres was back in a hollow, and they'd say, hey, Ted, how much do you own here? I said, you walk out the back door of the cabin there, and I said, as far as you can see. Well, can you imagine a big, deep hollow as far as you can see? All you see is forest, you know?
Trees, yeah.
And then last they said, do you own all that back in through there? I said, as far as you can see. Well, you can see as far as 4 acres, so you can imagine.
Yeah, those hollows are pretty deep.
But I told you $7 an acre.
Yep.
That's what we paid for
yep.
taxes.
Wow.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty good.
124, you didn't say 124. The old timers down there, they said, you mean 124?
Yeah, 124.
The lingo and stuff back there, it's the old saying, if you're in Rome, you do as you Romans do.
Yeah.
I made good friends by not correcting nobody about nothing.
That's right. You didn't want to do that. Yeah.
That's their land. That's their place. And that's where they was born and raised and all the things that went on down around there. But the gardens was something I asked the one farmer. And you said along the river there. So along the river there at Apple Grove and on up in there, those people was all named Hill. If there was one hill, there was about around 15, 20 hills on there. And they all had nicknames and stuff, but their last name was Hill.
Yep.
I was very good friends with Hills. And there was one big ridge that run there, and they told me that belonged to Wolf. And I said, well, explain something to Wolf. I said, that's a big piece of country that I walk and hunt on, and looking right down like the Indians would on top of a ridge right down the Ohio River. And they said, that's the one that owns Channel 10.
Oh,
now, I don't know,
okay. That was the Wolf family.
Huh. Yeah. Yep. Right. They owned that, but there was a magnificent home put down along there that's towards the end. But the moral of the story is the state of Ohio come along, and the Ottoman of Domain, they chose our cabin site, and they're going to put the new 33 through there. They said, hey, Ted, we have to take your place. And I said, oh, man, can't you just move the people guiding the line down there for the highway and move it over? And they said, well, no. They said, we got to put a big tile clear down through there. And I couldn't imagine that I hunted that for 25 years, how that would do. But you know what? They put machinery in there and done it.
Yeah.
But that was a pretty exciting thing. You remember when they had the Ravenswood Bridge was a big article in the Columbus Dispatch for several years. The bridge to nowhere.
I don't remember that.
No, I don't think I remember that either.
You guys can't remember that?
No.
There was only one bridge that was 12 miles from our cabin into Pomeroy.
Oh, okay. All right. I know what you're talking about.
I do, too.
You had to cross the river at Mason.
Okay, yep. Yes. Yep.
So down around there, they didn't have any crossing, so there at Ravenswood, they was going to put a bridge across that. That was just about 4 miles from our cabin. And so I kept track of that and watched that. And when I was down there, first down there, I seen these boats back in a little canal off the Ohio River. And that was for old State Creek where I'm down there. They got all kinds of names. But I said, man, this must be good fishing. There's like 15 or 20 little boats, 12 foot, 14 foot. And motors on, and there's nobody there. Well, the big factory, as you guys know, being in that country of Ravenswood, the aluminum plant.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the guys on the Ohio side crossed the river and went over there and worked at the...
To went to work.
Huh. Yeah. And so it was an interesting place, and it was a interesting time, but I thought maybe that I could put a few... Athens, oh my golly, I went back there through the college area, and sometimes, I can remember one year, I looked at the clock, and the guy said, you're going to be here a while, the traffic's backed up clear behind you.
It can be,
With the college kids, their little show out there on the thing, that was an interesting thing. One thing you didn't mention was, the Paul Bunyan Show.
I couldn't think of the name of it. Yeah, I knew it was a logging show. Paul Bunyan, yeah. Yep.
Oh, that was a terrific thing. We watched that several years and stuff.
And they have a terrific fiddle show in Nelson.
Yes, right.
Too.
That's I think they hold the world championship or something. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the bridge that got there, the bridge to nowhere, they finally, the governor of Ohio and the governor of West by God, Virginia, they come to Green, and they put the bridge, and it was fantastic to go over there into Ravenswood. I had a lot of fun over into Ravenswood. And one thing about it, did you ever hear of a George Washington Museum just on the other side of the river in West Virginia? And I used to take I catered to a lot of older people, and they said, Ted, we'd love to go down to your cabin. I said, well, you're free to come down anytime. So I said, hey, I got a ferry, and I can take you over to Ravenswood to George Washington Museum. They said, what? I said, yeah. I had a boat, and I had it down there by the Ohio River, and I could get in that boat, and I took them across there, and they all...
Never heard of a George Washington Museum.
No, me either.
It was just 4 miles from our place. I'd get them in the boat, and I'd go right across the Ohio River. Right over there, there was a docking place, and that was the George Washington Museum.
I'm going to have to look that up.
Yeah.
In West Virginia. And the older people, and like I said, I catered to older people. Here I am. I are one now that really enjoyable place down there. Yeah, I really loved all that country. Logan, my God, that's a wonderful little town. You can see that off the river. And the bridge and the river going across the Hocking River and stuff. Yep, that's all beautiful country. Well, nice talking to you.
Yeah, thank you for calling in. Thank you.
Time, so I know I'm humbling, but I could talk forever about...
Okay. Well, we appreciate you calling in. And
well,
have a good day.
You guys do a good show there.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Great. Great information.
Yeah. Well, I knew I've got relations in Meigs County, but I never knew a whole lot about Meigs County. Now, Scioto County, if you go down Route 23 into Lucasville, my cousin still owns and operates the McKinley Funeral Home, which was started in 1932 by...
I hope I don't go there too soon, but...
Yeah. Started in 1932 by his dad, my uncle, my mother's oldest brother.
Yeah, well, we got about 5 minutes left, and I know we didn't get to half of what we were going
to. No, we'll probably have to continue this, we can try it again and have James in with us. But I was trying to think, I think there's seven parks down there, seven state parks, and I've got Old Man's Cave, Rock House, Ash Cave, Conkles Hollow, and Cantwell Cliffs. And I think there's two more, and I can't for the life of me think of the other two.
Well, if you go to Logan and go to, I'm sure they have a tourist.
Oh, yeah, they do. There's a
Conventions Bureau.
There's a new, I guess they just opened the new one somewhere down in the area. The old one used to be right there off of 664, where you went off of 33 onto 664. They had it there, but somebody told me that they built a new one, and I didn't get down that far because we turned off on 180 and went into Laurelville. So
my eldest son goes down there on his anniversary, and they rent a cabin in that area.
Yeah.
And it's kind of pricey.
Well, like I said, I think my father-in-law ended up. Well, I think he left it to my ex-brother-in-law. Got the property, and I think he still has that property, but I know they built a lot of cabins out there in that area off of Blackjack Road. Yeah.
And if you go down there, I tell you what, you will really enjoy it. That's kind of why we were talking about it today.
Well, it is. And
we
know,
didn't get paid by the...
No, by the Tourist Bureau. No, I don't think so. But Logan has changed tremendously since I was a kid and living there and growing up there. I graduated from Logan High School.
New football field.
Every school I went to, Glenn, they tore down.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they didn't set up any historical monuments to me.
They didn't ask
me. Even though, and this is crazy, I got to tell this story real quick. I think we have enough time for it.
Got about 4 minutes.
My mother-in-law passed away back in July, and at her funeral, I met for the first time the brother of the girl that my wife's brother married. Now, that's kind of strange.
Yeah.
But he was also, he was from Perry County.
Uh-huh.
And we didn't know we were that close to each other. And he's probably, I don't know, I'm going to say maybe mid-50s. So during our conversation at the lunch after the funeral, I said, "Where'd you graduate?" And he told me, and I said, "Where'd you graduate?" He said, "Logan High School." And he said, "In fact, I graduated in 1968." And I said, "It's a little bit of a notoriety." And he said, "Well, what was that?" And I said, "Well, me and four of my buddies were the ones that put the cow in the belfry at the old Logan High School." That was you? "You're famous." I said, "You're kidding." He said, "Oh, no." He said, "That's spread all throughout southeastern Ohio about the guys that put the cow in the belfry at Logan High School."
What did the poor cow do?
Mood. It was a calf.
Okay. I hope you got him out okay.
Well, we didn't take him down then. We did later on. We got found out.
Jeez. That's kind of like our story with Miss Justice or Miss...
Yeah, kind of like that, yeah. Marion. So I guess it didn't mean much because they tore the school building down anyway, and the belfry went with it. So. But yeah, they've got a new school down there, a new consolidated school with new football field, the whole nine yards, which I have not seen yet.
We went to a game at the football field.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I don't remember why we went there, but we went to one.
But really, if folks are looking for a great place to spend a few days or even a day trip, you know, it's only a couple hours. Drive down there, and I always go down Route 37 through Lancaster. I like to take the scenic route, hit 33, and then go south. But halfway between Lancaster and Logan, right there when you're in the Rockbridge area, there's a place called Rimple's Grove, and there's a boot store there, and there's a couple places to eat, and
they have
an antique mall.
Yeah,
and
they started a garage sale thing there.
Yes, right.
Several
right.
years ago, and it just expanded.
Well, that's called Rimple's Grove because the guy that used to own it was Rudy Rimple, and he sold all that property years ago, of course, and they've turned that into a little tourist destination.
It is a nice little destination. Yeah. We haven't been there, but we drive by it all the time when we're heading that way.
Yeah.
Hey, we're down to our last 45 seconds. You got anything you got to tell me about the Historical Society?
Nope, other than this Sunday is the last day.
Make sure you get
over
there.
You can still get in there today, Friday and Saturday and Sunday, 1 to 4, and pick up some gifts for Christmas.
Yeah. Well, Fred Malone is our guest today. He will be our guest in 1 month, and we want to thank him for being here, and I hope you hang in there with us. I'm going to be back on with Swap Shop, and we're going to cut away for about 15 minutes, and I hope you can come back. Don't forget, if you have something to sell, call Swap Shop. We'll be right back.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. Just listen to former star of the Jeffersons and 227, Marla Gibbs.
Where did the name Marla come from? It's so unique.
I made it up.
Really?
My name is Margaret. And I thought that was too much. Margaret Bradley. There's no rhythm to it. Of course, it doesn't. I think in the end it doesn't matter, but it's just whatever you think. So I thought Marla, I wanted the M. So Marla Gibbs had a better rhythm to me.
Marla,
and so I don't know that's why it was successful, but. Successful,
you're the only Marla I've ever known, and thank goodness, because you're one of a kind.
Oh, there's two Marlas.
Oh, there's another Marla.
Yeah, Danny's daughter. No, that's Marlo.
Oh, that's right, Marlo.
They keep calling me Marlo sometimes. I say, no, that's Marlo Thomas. I said, Marlo has the money, and Marla is after it.
Do you regret not getting as many award Emmys, things like that? Does that ever factor in?
No, because I say the work is its own reward. You can't decide who's going to give you an award. But if you're doing the work, as long as you're appreciated for the work, I think that's the best. The awards are nice. I mean, it'd be nice if I got one. But I was up four times, so I was a bridesmaid, never a bride.
Marla, when you get a role today, you say you still do auditions. Does the money matter?
Yes, it does. Because I blew all my money. I won't say I blew it, but I owned the theater and I owned the jazz supper club, so all the money went. So now, when I get a job, I do want to be paid.
Are the residuals good?
Well, they're not as exciting as everybody knew. Oh, where do you get residuals? I didn't see that. I got a residual for 3 cents.
Jeez.
And then for 9 cents. And I took them to the bank.
It's WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio. The talking place. Streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Look for us on Facebook by searching WWGH 107.1 FM, Marion, Ohio, and clicking like for exclusive content. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address